Thank you so very much. I am delighted to be able to represent the university in welcoming you to the campus. So while I'm sorry that Dr. Rogers is not able to be with us, it's my pleasure to be able to stand in for her and to welcome you here. One of the things that comes with me is a long heritage with BYU. My father joined the faculty in 1943. When I was 3 years old, in 1944, he was the assistant to the president, Franklin Harris. And I remember one of my early experiences of my father taking my mother and me to meet President Harris. And after visiting for a few minutes, President Harris invited me to come and sit on his knee. And after I was there, he asked me if I had any suggestions to the president. And I don't know what I said, but he gave me a nickel, five cents at the time, as a reward for my counsel. And that was equivalent to what it cost to buy a chocolate candy bar. And I thought that was a pretty good deal, that I could go and give advice to the president and get enough money to buy a chocolate candy bar. I guess I embarrassed my mother and my father many occasions when I slipped off on my own to find the president's office and ask the secretary if I could see the president again, because I had something I wanted to tell him. Well, 57 years later, I'm still trying to tell the president what to do, and it's probably still worth just 5 cents. But I appreciate being with you. I've seen this university change from when there's just 1,100 students and 5 buildings on the campus to what it is now. A wonderful, wonderful university. I'm touched by all that has been done over the years, and it started with a very unique beginning with its pioneer heritage. As indicated, the Mormon pioneers came to Utah in 1847, and education was a high priority. Initially, from the very beginning, a school system within the homes and organized within the communities developed. With time, of course, this became a state, and most of the pioneer school systems that were developed became the state school system. But the church held on to Brigham Young University. And one of the reasons I perceive or understand is because if we couldn't teach all of the children, then we ought to give a priority of teaching the teachers who will teach the children. And so a primary focus of Brigham Young University was teaching teachers, or being a teacher's college. I was looking at some information a while back. It was in giving the history back in 1919. 50% of the students that were enrolled then were planning to become teachers. And about half of them were women. And so there's been a long heritage of both men and women being educated here as part of the church university. It had a very modest beginning. It went through its struggles. It has developed over the years and become the university it is today. Now, to look at the university just simply from the outside, it would look like most universities. It has 12 colleges or schools. It teaches the subjects that you would expect. It's doing the research you would expect. You're seeing the product of what you would expect. But Brigham Young University is unique. There's something here that's different, and you'll feel it, you'll see it, and I hope you have an opportunity to exchange with some of the students. I have the privilege, as Dean Rasmussen indicated, of coordinating an ambassador visits program. And during the past years, we've been able to bring 190 ambassadors from 97 different countries to come and lecture to our students. It's always a pleasure for me to see the reaction of the ambassadors. First of all, they see the campus and see what a beautiful campus it is, and that it is. And then just walking across the campus, they see the students. And I remember back in the very beginning, I hosted the ambassador from Denmark, and the ambassador had given a lecture, and then we took him to meet the president of the university. And as we were going back to where their car was parked, the ambassador's wife said, "Peter, look into the eyes of these students. There's something different here than we see on any other campus." And we believe that is true. One of the uniquenesses you'll find, of course, comes with this university being sponsored by the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. The standards, the values are taught. And as we have talked, and as you will see, as I've had the opportunity of hosting the Secretary General from Jordan the last few days, we've talked about, while our theology may be different, how our values are so similar. And these values, consider a university, nearly 33,000 students, nearly 4,500 faculty and staff, and all of them have agreed and do live by what we call an honor code, which includes the most visible of not drinking alcohol, tea, or coffee, not smoking, no sex outside of marriage, no drugs except that which is prescribed. And you see a difference in these students with that standard. Many people, when I tell them, who are not familiar with BYU, about the standard, say, well, how do you enforce it? And I say, we don't have to enforce it. People come here because that's what they want. And so it doesn't require a heavy hand of enforcement. The students themselves uphold that. The faculty uphold that. And it is a unique environment. Another uniqueness, because of the church sponsorship and because of the programs of the church, is where our young people give 18 months to 2 years in voluntary service for the church and will go wherever the church wants to assign them, and they go at their own expense. But what it does is it creates a unique student body for us. Consider a student body where, now outside the United States, this isn't anything to brag about, but inside the United States of American students, it is something to brag about. Nearly 75% of our students speak, American students, speak a second language. But coupled with that, nearly half of our students at any given time have lived abroad and have spent 18 months to 2 years in that country where they've loved the people, they've served the people. They come home with that love and become ambassadors for that country. They continue the language and the traditions. If you were to walk in my office, you would see it split between my missionary experience in Norway and my new home of Jordan. And that this continues on. My father named me Erland. Now, you probably haven't heard that name before, unless you read the book Kristen Lavrin's Daughter, which received the Nobel Peace Literature Prize in 1928, and Erland was one of the characters in it. My father gave me a Norwegian name. As I learned to pray in our family, we always prayed using the traditional Norwegian prayer. So from the time I was 3 or 4 years old until I was older, all of our blessings on our food were in Norwegian. My father taught us the folk songs in Norwegian. Whenever as a family we got in the car, when started to go someplace, we would start singing the Norwegian folk songs, starting out with Per Spelman. Well, this kind of love carries over with all of these students. And you see it here on campus. I had the Consul General from Egypt here. We were going across campus. It was in between class breaks. We kind of squeezed out a student a little bit. We didn't intend to. And she looked up and she said, who is so important here? And I said, we have the Consul General from Egypt. Well, she went into speaking Arabic. It wasn't freshman introductory Arabic. It was very polished. And it was really fun as we listened to the two of them conversed. Well, you see that manifest right now. One of our language programs is Arabic. It's interesting, the past ambassador to Jordan was a BYU graduate. He started his Arabic here at BYU. The former deputy chief of mission in Egypt was a BYU graduate and started his Arabic here. The ambassador to Kuwait, Deborah Jones, started her Arabic here at BYU. We now have 52 American students who have completed 2 years of Arabic language training that are in Jordan right now for 4 months to polish their language instruction in Arabic. They go to an institute. They're taking a class at the University of Jordan. They're required to spend a minimum of 2 hours a day out speaking with the Jordanian people, reading and writing Arabic. And you see that developed. It makes this campus a unique campus. But you know, many of our faculty preceded them with those same experiences. And so you see that, and as I bring the ambassadors here, it is really a marvelous opportunity to showcase BYU with having them meet people from their country. Last night with the Secretary General from Jordan, we had a dinner with the Jordanian students. And we had 40 people there, and half of them were Jordanian students who are going to BYU. And it has been a marvelous experience. Now, most of these students are Muslims. And I have the opportunity of helping in the recruitment and selection of them. And I always talk to them when they arrive about what their experience will be. And then I love the last interview before they leave. And I'll ask them, what was your experience like at BYU? And I find consistently the same response. I may not have become a Mormon, but I have come to recognize and love my own religion. The Muslim says, I go home a better Muslim. The Catholic says, I go home a better Catholic. The Lutheran says, I go home a better Lutheran. We hope that as people come and they're in this environment, students from your country, that whether they're of our faith or not, they're welcome. We simply ask them to come and live the same standards as we do. We're grateful for your presence here. Our university president will have an opportunity in the morning to personally welcome you. But for tonight, I say thank you, welcome. We hope you have a good experience while you're here.